Chapter 7, A Night of Strange Events. The following evening, a gentleman called Mr. Mason arrived in a carriage. He was extremely polite and had an unusual accent.
"I've travelled far from Spanish Town, Jamaica," he told me. "I'll wait here for Mr. Rochester if you don't mind."
Later, when Mr. Rochester returned, I told him Mr. Mason was waiting for him.
"Mason!" he exclaimed, his face becoming pale. "Mason! Jane, help me!"
"What is it, sir?" I asked. "Are you ill? Tell me what to do."
"First, Jane, get me some wine," he said. "Then, bring Mason to me and leave us."
"Yes, sir," I said, curious about our new visitor.
Sometime later, when I was in bed, I heard Mr. Rochester on the stairs saying,
"Your room is on the next floor, Mason."
He sounded fine, so I felt better and soon fell asleep. That night, I forgot to close my curtain, and the beautiful full moon looked at me through my bedroom window. I got up to close the curtains when suddenly I heard a terrible cry from the floor above my room and my heart stood still. A man's voice shouted, "Help! Help! Rochester, where are you?"
I dressed quickly and went into the hall.
Some of the guests were there, also shocked by the cry.
"What was that?" cried one of the ladies. "Where's Mr. Rochester?" shouted another. "I'm here," Mr. Rochester replied. "Ladies, please calm down. A servant had a bad dream, that's all. Please go back to your rooms. No need to panic."
But I knew a servant hadn't made that awful sound. I went back to my room, sat on my bed, and looked out of the window. Suddenly, I heard a knock at the door.
"Are you still awake, Jane?" whispered Mr. Rochester. "If you are, come with me, quickly."
I went to him immediately, very curious.
"Do you feel sick when you see blood, Jane?" he asked.
"I don't know," I replied quietly, my heart beating heavily. "Give me your hand," said Mr. Rochester, leading me up the stairs. We went into a bedroom, and I saw the stranger, Mr. Mason, lying on the bed, his clothes covered in blood.
"Am I going to die?" he asked weakly.
"No, I'm going to get a doctor," Mr. Rochester replied. "Don't worry, Jane will stay with you."
He turned to me and spoke quietly. "Please stay with him while I'm gone, Jane, but don't speak to him."
"Yes, sir," I replied.
I stayed alone with Mr. Mason, wondering why he had come to Thornfield and who had attacked him. Was it Grace Poole? After a while, I heard Pilot barking, and Mr. Rochester entered the room with a doctor.
"You've got half an hour, doctor," he said. "Please cover the injuries, fasten his bandages, and help us get him downstairs and into his carriage. He can't stay here."
"How are you feeling?" the doctor asked Mr. Mason. He removed the patient's shirt and looked at his injuries. "These injuries aren't from a knife," he said. "I can see teeth marks."
"She bit me after Rochester took the knife from her," Mr. Mason replied weakly. "And I think she killed me."
"Don't be silly," said Mr. Rochester. "You've just lost some blood. I told you not to see her alone."
"I thought I could help," whispered Mason.
"You were mistaken," said Mr. Rochester. "You must leave before sunrise. You'll forget all about her when you get back to Spanish Town."
The doctor gave Mason some medicine to calm him and helped him get dressed. Then we helped him get into his carriage. It was early morning when he left us, but not yet light.
"Let's go into the garden and get some fresh air," said Mr. Rochester.
We walked together in the garden quietly.
"It's been a strange night," Mr. Rochester said.
"You're very pale, Jane.
Were you afraid when I left you alone with Mason?"
"Yes,
I was afraid of someone coming into the room, I answered. Was it Grace Poole who attacked the gentleman? She's very strange. Will she still live here, sir?
Oh, don't worry about her, Mr. Rochester replied. Besides, you weren't in any danger, my gentle friend. I locked the bedroom door when I left to keep you safe. But it was a long night. Are you angry with me for destroying your night's sleep?
Of course not, sir, I replied, with a strange feeling in my stomach. Just then, we heard voices coming from the house.
The guests are awake, said Mr. Rochester. You can't stay out here with me.
I left him and went back to the house. As I climbed the staircase quietly, I heard Mr. Rochester greeting some of his guests.
Mason left this morning, he told them. I got up early to say goodbye to him.
I went to bed, too tired to even try and understand the strange events of that night. The next day, a man in a black coat and hat was waiting for me downstairs.
Hello, Miss Eyre, he said. You probably don't remember me. My name's Robert. I was a servant at the Reeds' house when you were little. I still live there.
Oh, Robert, you married Bessie, I cried. How is she? How's the family? I noticed his black clothes and added, has someone died?
Yes, I'm afraid your cousin, Mr. John, died yesterday, Robert answered. He owed a lot of money and he was unhappy. They think he killed himself. Mrs. Reed is very ill in bed. She keeps saying, Jane, bring Jane. So I came to take you back to Gateshead. Will you come with me?
Yes, of course I'll come with you, Robert, I replied immediately. I went to find Mr. Rochester to tell him the news. He gave me £50 and made me promise to come back in a week.
I can't promise, I said, but I'll try, sir. Then I turned to him. Mr. Rochester, I said, if you're going to be married soon, I think Adele must go to school and I must find a post somewhere else.
Promise me you won't look for a new position, Jane, Mr. Rochester said. I'll find you one. In time.
I'll promise you that, if you promise me something, sir, I said emphatically. Promise me that Adele and I will both be out of the house before your bride comes to live here. Adele must be in a new school, and I must be in a new job far from here.
Agreed, was his answer. I said goodbye and went to pack my bags.